John chapter 3, I'm going to preach something very simple today called For God So Loved. For God So Loved. We're going to do something today a little different. I'm going to ask you to stand just for a moment. We're going to read down verse number 17. And what I'd like us to do, I'm going to read verse 1, then we're going to do what's called responsive reading. And then you'll read verse 2, and basically you'll read every other verse. So I'll read we'll read together every other verse. I'll read verse 1. And together we'll read verse 2, then I'll read verse 3, and then we'll finish up with verse 17. John chapter 3 and verse number 1, you'll notice that the word of God says, There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Emilio, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for today. I'd like to thank you for the preaching that we're going to hear. Thank you for Pastor Harper, and thank you for the church. And please, Lord, help us absorb the message that Pastor Harper is going to give us. And bless us and keep us safe, and help us go forward and give us strength. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The message today, I think I may have said, simply called For God So Loved. For God So Loved. You know, I'm amazed at how incredibly simply powerful the Word of God is. I meditated on a passage and truths that you've known for years, verses you've seen all your life, and it just come to life more deeper, more richer all the time. And I just thank God for the privilege of the gospel. I was witnessing to someone this morning, and I had these shirts made some time ago that have a picture of a Bible on them, and it said, The Victory Is Real. And I was studying my Bible out in front of a Starbucks this morning, and it was a nice day and had a nice table out there. I was reading my Bible, and I was finishing getting ready to leave, and a guy walked by, and he said, excuse me, I walked by and that caught my eye. What exactly does that mean? You know, I was glad he asked, you know. And I said, well, the Bible says that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. And faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so the Word of God is how we have victory. And I said, everybody in this life desires to have victory. And this is a reminder to me and everybody see that the victory really is in the Word of God and through faith. And And we got to talk some more, but I thank God just for the gospel message that I can give in any and all situations, all certain times, and there's never a bad place to take the gospel to, amen. And God will open the door, but I won't go into everything we share because that'd be all the message, but I thank God just for the reality of the gospel and that God so loved. If you're taking notes mentally or physically today, first thing I'd like you to notice is number one, for God so loved that he gave. God so loved that he gave. You know, giving is living. I heard Curtis Hudson say several years ago, he said, I want to be a giving while I'm living, so I'll be knowing where it's going. So, you know, I've determined, you know, in the past few years, I've got to experience death of people close to me, and I'm determined that I'm going to love people while I'm alive. I'm trying my best to send notes, cards, emails, letters, and to give my life to people because I don't want to die having any regrets of anybody that I could have loved more, anyone that I could have spent more time with. And I'm by the grace of God. And because Jesus, my Savior, he lived simply to give. And God so loved the world. Number one, he gave life. He gave us, he made us out of the dust of the earth. God so loved that he gave meaning. He gave dirt meaning. Amen. You know, there's a song called a speck of dust or a speck of dirt is all I am. I mean, I was in a camp meeting one time and you have to hear with that old southern twang, but I can't remember all the word, but it just a speck of dirt, just what I am, you know, but it's a gospel song, but it reminds us of how we came from the dirt and how God poured his love into us and that he simply gave life, you know, and everything about God is giving, you know, and everything about what he wants to do with us. And I was thinking this day about how powerful it is to have a life of giving. God gave me a thought that I'm going to put on the website this week that the people that are most burdened in life are the ones that the only burden they carry is their own. The people that are most burdened in life are the ones whose only burden they carry is their own. Because, see, as children of God, we're called to carry the burdens of others. And, you know, it's heavy sometimes, but you know what? God gives you strength to carry those burdens. And I thank God. I used to weigh me down, the many burdens that I carry. And I do get tired. And sometimes I'm an emotional roller coaster. But I thank God for those burdens. Because I'm amazed at the strength God gives me just to carry on and carry the burdens. And that's a gift that he gave to me to be able to bear burdens of many people. Because that's what he did. He gave life to give hope and answer. Everything about God is giving. God so loved that he gave. You know, he gives hope. He gives mercy. He gives grace. And if we could just understand just being able to give mercy and grace, especially the children of God. Imagine, I mean, that's where the liberty is in giving grace and mercy to people, you know, and that's where the hope is found. You know, it's amazing. I thank God for in recent years to realize the great spirit of condemnation that I had in my heart toward just about everything. And even myself, I mean, but everything about God is life. He gave life. Do we understand that the gospel came to a world that was absolutely condemned? A world that was dead in trespasses and sins. A world that after years of God even having a set apart, anointed, chosen people that he had mercy and grace and favor upon them, they continually disobeyed him. They continually rebelled against him. And even when he sent his only begotten son directly to them to preach Christ to them that they might experience eternal redemption, that very chosen people rejected him. And then he turned the gospel over to those that were not even his chosen people, us Gentiles. Thank God for that. That God gives mercy. He gives grace. He gives a second chance. And he gives a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. And what a wonderful God that is, that God so loved that he gave. When's the last time you gave mercy to somebody? When's the last time you gave grace to somebody? Number two, God so loved that he gave his only. God so loved that he gave his only. You know, and we, of course, we know the end of the verse, but that'll be the last point. But But God gave that which was precious. Do we understand it through Jesus Christ that God didn't just lay down any old sacrifice? Well, he gave his only. You know, the only one there was. The Holy Son of God. The Holy Savior. There'll never be anything else like him. You know, when you think about that God gave his only, you know, one of my favorite verses, I've shared it numerous times, Ecclesiastes 9:10, and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might. For there's no strength, no power, no device in the grave whither thou goest. You know why? Because, see, I've only got one life. And when I think about how God so loved that he gave his only, it makes me to want to take this only life that I have and live it for him and give it to him. Because, see, you know, real love, you know, it's one thing to give somebody something. If you have a close friend and you've got, I don't know, whatever you think is valuable, you know, 10 or whatever, and your friend asks for one of them, and you give them one, that's no big deal. But if you have something that's a one of a kind, and let's even go deeper, if you have something that there's nothing else like it in the entire world, and your friend says, someone that you love says, can I have that? And then you, without reservation, give it to them. They know how valuable they really are because you gave them that which was precious. You know, I was thinking about some people I witnessed to this week and different situations and struggles that they've been involved in. And you know, I got to spend some time with Warren at the hospital again. He's out in Scarborough in the hospital. And you know, I went there late one night because, you know, I say it's a blessing. I got the witness to it, like when the security guards on staff and everything. It was just a phenomenal night. I mean, God is just good. But I realized, you know, Warren's precious. I mean, he really is precious. And God, think about this, you know, those people, even that were treating him, really look at him like an irritation or a problem. But, you know, God, when God so looked at him, and God so loved him, he didn't throw at Warren his second best. He didn't give to Warren the leftovers, you know. You know, he gave to Warren the very best he had to offer. And he gave the same for you and for me. And that's why we really have to be careful when we're arrogant and we look down on other people. Because, I mean, God gave his, God, that one-of-a-kind gift that he gave to every single person. You ought to think about somebody that you don't like right now. Think of somebody right now that you refuse to give grace to. Think of somebody that you have a condemning mindset toward. Think of somebody that you won't give mercy to right now. And you need to think about this. God so loved that he gave. Not just a half-hearted effort to, a half-hearted gift to. He gave a one of kind, never to be duplicated, never to be replicated. He gave a one-of-a-kind gift to that very person that was brought to your mind right now. He got so loved that he gave his only. He gave something that was precious. He also gave something that could never be replaced. You know, Jesus, that life that Jesus lived, that will never, ever happen again. God gave one sacrifice through Jesus Christ. It'll never, ever happen that way again. That life that he lived, that glorious life that the Savior lived as he manifested the attributes of God in every action that he lived on the earth, that will never, ever be replaced. And you know, and that's what we're creating in his image. If you think about that, that's why we only have one life to live. One of my favorite songs it was that we learned when Tim and Amy Phoebens were here, that only one life to offer. You know, that's one of my favorite songs now because I only got one to offer. You know, we think we only have one life to live, and that's kind of true too, but the better truth is, if we think about God's love that he gave, we only have one life to offer. This, you know, are you hearing me? We only have one life to offer unto the Lord, unto each other. So God said, you know, and he gave something that could never be replaced, and also he gave something that was 100% completely unique. You know, since Jesus is God, you can't compare anything to him. You know, the longer I study Christ, the more I realize why the world loves God or having a God. I say God or small, because the world Even a lot of the world even loves the God of the Bible. But they like to reject the fact that Jesus is God also. And they like to reject the fact that he's a Savior, because if you could have the God of the Bible without Jesus, that removes you and I from the responsibility to live the life that he lived. Because Jesus said, follow me. He said, I've given you an example. You know, and when you think about it, everything that Jesus did, because, you know, guess what? You know, without the Jesus of the Bible, there's no bless them that curse you. There's no pray for them which despitefully use you, because he did that. He did that. He showed the very reality of the love of God by coming to people that cursed him and mocked him and spit upon him and bruised him and hated him and rejected every loving act that he did his entire life. And you know what? He still loved him. You know, I was thinking about it. You know, occasionally I'll make a shirt with a principal, like a verse or something. I was thinking that the real reality of life, I want to live by what I'll call the Judas principle. Because Jesus loved Judas like he was a friend until he died, all the way up to his death. And Judas, he betrayed Jesus. And Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. And when I think about it, how heartbreaking it is of all the ways that he chose to betray Jesus, he could have said, there he is. He could have said, he could have described Jesus physically. You know, when you get, certainly, or maybe, because I don't know if they have multiple outfits like we do today, maybe they all look the same, but he could have said, well, the one that normally wears this, you'll see him, he'll be by this, or he'll be beside John the Beloved or whatever. He has a beard that's a certain length to describe him. But of all the ways for Judas to betray him, he kissed him. He chose the one that I'm going to lay a kiss upon, that's the one that you're looking for. That's the one that I've sold so that you can kill him. That's the one that I've sold that came here to give his life for me, to train me, to be like him, to help me to reach other people. The way I'm going to betray him, the way I'm going to show you who he is, I'm going to kiss him. And when Judas approached Jesus, I can imagine all the compassion of love that God so loved that he gave. The embodiment of that gift was in Jesus Christ, the unique love that Jesus had like nobody else. Him looking Judas in the eye. Friend, wherefore art thou come? You know, can you imagine if you and I could read minds? Anybody ever feel like being betrayed by somebody? Anybody ever felt like that? Can you imagine if you could read minds and you knew it was coming? Imagine how you would handle that. Can you imagine him coming and you know it, you know, and they're here to betray you, and you say, friend, wherefore art thou come? Jesus knew that. That's why he was so unique, because the Judas principle is he loved even his greatest enemies like they were his friend until he had no more breath in him. In fact, I believe, or unfortunately, Judas was already dead, but those that even speared him in his side, as he looked, he was already stretched apart over heaven and earth, but as he looked up to heaven, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God so loved that he gave. God so loved that he gave his only. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. In Luke chapter 2, we're going to journey through the Bible just a little bit now. First thing I want you to notice is that he gave his only begotten son, number one, to have a life that was holy from his youth. He gave his only begotten son to have a life that was holy from his youth. In Luke chapter 2, notice what the Bible says in verse number 41. In Luke chapter 2, in verse number 41, well actually, let's pick up verse 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, referring to Jesus Christ, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. You know, God gave his only begotten Son to be holy from his youth, to live a life that was holy from his youth. You know, around 12 years of age, that's kind of one of the most difficult times you begin going through. You start realize you're not a child, and you kind of want to be an adult. And you think about it, that one of the most probably emotional times a human being could experience. He was called to be holy. You know, the time you don't fill in, sometimes you grow too fat, your voice starts squeaking. A lot of times you lose your balance. You know, you're super coordinated. And you hit that age point. You can't even hardly run fast because your body is adjusting and you're like all over the map. Just simple things, you know. And here it is in this time in his life that he was called to be set apart. Called to not be and not to fit in. You know, and I think about the Lord Jesus Christ and how, you know, we think about the life that he was given to us for is a life that we're called to live also. You know, and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hold your place. Well, actually, no, you don't have to hold your place. We don't. But in Hebrews chapter 4, one of my favorite passages in the Bible, referring to Jesus Christ, and it says in verse 15 of Hebrews 4, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. You know, Jesus knows what it's like to feel like nobody understands him. You realize this, that even Jesus' own parents didn't understand him. They didn't understand, well, what are you doing? Even his own parents, you're not fitting in. What are you doing? You know, I remember when I was in the bus ministry, one of the greatest joys of my life, other than preaching, along with preaching in junior church, and I can remember sometimes a young child making a profession of faith and going back to a home where the parents were drunks. I remember we had a little boy named Bobby that used to stay at our home a couple of times. Parents were always drunk, and it's time to go pick him up. Just everybody plastered, you know, and had a sister that we're quite sure that was molested, you know, and who knows what ever happened to him and in home. And just I could think of him and his brother Jerry and those kids reading verses and talking to me about wanting to live for God and then going home into an atmosphere that just, you know, wanted them just to act right. But when they really started living for God and started realizing what sin was, then their parents even would turn against them. And their parents wouldn't even like them. I always remember little Don McGuire. I was preaching junior church, and I think Brother Chuck was dealing with him. I can't remember if I was on the bus or Brother. Yeah, and Brother Chuck was dealing with Don, and me and Chuck had a long talk about salvation. We didn't rush salvation with children because we didn't want to be confused, and just, you know, many people are just glad to have a child say a prayer, and they wind up later realizing they're lost and don't understand what's going on. But old Don McGuire, Chuck dealt with him for probably like 15, 20 minutes, just going slow. And all of a sudden, this old metal door. I know I told the story before, but I'm going to tell it again. And that metal door burst open. You know how when a kid runs through a door, it opens and it goes, bam, it slaps the back because the heat is so hard. That door burst out. It slapped the back. He ran across the parking lot. Dee Dee, I'm saved. His sister was on the bus named Dee Dee. Dee Dee, I'm saved. Dee Dee, I'm saved. I don't remember that. And the next time I pick old Don up, he gets on the bus. He gets on the bus like this. I said, Don, what's wrong, man? You should be happy. Aren't you happy you gave your life to Jesus? He said, I'm not saved. I have to earn it. Because his parents told him he had to earn his salvation. And I think how that joy was. Here's, Here was this boy filled with so much joy and hope and vision. But you know what? Jesus was called to live a life that was holy even from his youth. And you know, Jesus understands exactly what Don McGuire was going through. Every child that's been felt separated because your parents tried to live for God, Jesus knows exactly what you've gone through. Every adult that felt isolated and separated because you just tried to live for God and love him with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, Jesus knows exactly what you were going through. He's touched by the feeling of your infirmities because he was in all points tempted, like as you, we, yet without sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to live a life that was holy from his youth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to have a life that would demonstrate his compassion. Matthew chapter 9. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to live a life that would demonstrate his compassion. Now Matthew chapter 9, in verse number 35, the word of God says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, I thank God for rescuing me for how much I used to hate the world. You know, we're called not to love the world, but we're not called to hate it either. God so loved the world. And I understand the admonition that we don't love the world and the things of the world. But it's amazing. We just read the context. Jesus is moving among them and he's taking care of all of their physical needs. Sickness, disease, healing them. And they're still, and he said they're fainting. You know why? Because they don't have a shepherd. They don't have a shepherd to direct them. They don't have a shepherd to take them from that position of wanting. Remember the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, there's nothing greater than having a life where I don't want. You know, there's sometimes, you know, when you really walk with God and you appreciate everything that God has done for you, like the passage Brother David read about how, man, your name's written down. What else do you need? Your name's written down, you know. They said, don't rejoice. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, you know. But your name's written down. You know, what do we have to want? Because we have a shepherd to lead, to guide, to provide, to comfort, to strengthen, to care for. You know, there's no life like that. You know, and I look now, when I look upon the multitudes, man, they're just scattered abroad and they're fainting. You know, laughter that has to be fueled by drugs or alcohol. I should say legal drugs and illegal drugs. No real joy. No, you know, the next news story robs a person of their joy instead of really realizing that, you know, man, thank God for salvation's available. God have mercy on those people. Reach out to those people. Somehow help those people. Help me to reach the next one before they die. You know, but Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he didn't say, man, I can't believe all these heathens won't follow me. Yeah, it's funny. I used to, you know, come to church and in my heart, I would condemn all the people that weren't going to church. Those heathens. You know, I used to be like that. But I say it arrogantly. I used to be like that. I used to just be waking up now. But by the grace of God. And I rejoiced that God changed me. But something on the inside, I was saying, you know, Lord, help me to help those people. Help me to reach those people. Lord, they're like sheep scattered abroad. You know what sheep are when they're scattered abroad? They're sitting ducks, so to speak. They're waiting to get killed by wolves. You know, a sheep that have no shepherd, they're easy prey for the wolves of this life. And you know, you look at the world, you ever think about this? It's funny, and I think about my own life as with all the arrogance and confidence that I had in me, you know, I was so unstable that I'd just be swept by this way. Next week, I'd be swept moving this way. Next week, I'll be swept this way. Next week, my identity's here. Next week, I'll find my identity in here. Next week, my identity's through this person. Next week, my identity's through that person. Next week, my identity is fueled by this song. Next week, my identity is fueled by this song. Next week, my identity is fueled by this kung fu saying. Next week, my identity was fueled by this kung fu saying. Next week, my identity was fueled by this basketball victory. Next week, fueled by this basketball victory. Next week, and it changes all the time. And I thought, you know what I thought? Hey, I'm glad to be me. But I was just so unstable, and it's hard to believe. And you know what? I just didn't have a shepherd. You know, can I tell you, it might not be good news to you, but I'm saved. And I thank God that I'm saved. And I thank God that I have a heavenly Father. I wish I could be a father to my children like God is a father to me. I mean, I wish I could. I mean, I never would have hurt them. I never would have offended them. I never would have made one wrong mistake, one bad choice. But God allowed Jesus to come. He so loved that he gave Jesus to show his compassion toward me. And when I could have been so much worse to them, he gave me a shepherd through Jesus Christ. Next, turn to Mark chapter 8. Along this same long that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son to have a life that would demonstrate his compassion. In Mark 8, in verse number 1, and it says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, have compassion on the multitude, because they have been now with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And when his disciples answered him, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? There's Jesus, you know, his compassion. These people have been following him for 3 days. They have nothing to eat. Can you imagine? I mean, they're in the presence of Jesus. Wherever he's going, they're going. Forget about food. Forget about whatever. We're just going where Jesus is going. And Jesus, you know, can I tell you, if you're here today and you've been attempting to follow God, Jesus knows about it. And he knows what your needs are. You know, when we follow God at our own expense and it costs us something, Jesus knows what your physical needs are. And he has compassion toward you. And he knows how to meet you with compassion to help you so you don't faint along the way. Kind of like he'll give jobs to people when their bodies are breaking down that they ask for. That's his compassion. And as you're following him, he knows that you'll faint along the way. And sometimes he'll even lay a person off before they destroy their own body and put themselves in an early grave. And so that he can have compassion and show them that no money is even a blessing sometimes. and before you faint along the way. And I think at different times when I got hurt, when I was working myself to just too much and trying to do too much, he had compassion and he recognized that if he didn't stop to feed me, I would faint along the way, even though my desire was simply to follow him. But he knows what our needs are. And think about this. You know, we still need to eat, obviously. I mean, he didn't call them to fast and die. And they had good intention to follow them. And Jesus knew they got so caught up in following me that they just didn't even think about their needs are. But that's the great thing, too. Jesus knows that's why he's the shepherd also. His compassion refuses to allow those that follow him in sacrificial labor to die starving to death. That's what God keeps his church going. Because God, there's some people here that are just simply trying to follow God. And there needs to be a light in this city that gives strength to the weary, that just have a heart to want to follow God according to his word and sincerely want to be like Christ, be led by the Holy Spirit of God. He knows that the multitude's fainting. And he said, I'm going to have compassion, so I need to give them something to eat. John chapter 8, next thing we see that God so loved that he gave his only begotten son to have a life that would show that there can be life after sin. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to have a life that would show that there can be life after sin. Though we know the story, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says in Jesus, verse 1, John 8, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, this is rather amazing. The more I think about this passage, you know, this is rather amazing. The one that God sent to the world to be the sacrifice for sin, the people brought a sinner to him hoping to be used for condemnation. I mean, if you really think about how that's really, it really just doesn't make sense, does it? but we can look back to it now. And verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Judas stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself. You know, Jesus knows sometimes you just don't need to say a thing. You know, and you learn from Jesus, you don't always have to react when people ask you questions. You just wait. You know, sometimes people pressure you. They want you to make an immediate decision. Just wait on the Lord. I think Psalms are waiting on the Lord to keep his way. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. You know why? He's still showing compassion. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, this is rather amazing, you know, because the good thing is that they had some degree of humility, because some people don't even have a conscience that convict them of their own sin. Some people would have stayed there with the stone thinking, well, at least I hadn't committed adultery. I mean, that's why people still have bitterness and unforgiveness, because at least I didn't do to them what they did to me. I mean, so they at least, praise God, they were convicted in their conscience somewhat. And so that is a blessing. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And, pardon me, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Liberty. You know what? Because you know what? She found out there was life after sin. Because you know what they were saying? They came into the, was he in the, in the, it came into the temple. Morgan, help me out now. Why don't you go sit on the other side of mama like you're supposed to be, so we don't have to have trouble when we get home. And he came into the temple to end this woman's life. That's why the Pharisees, who was it? The Pharisees, that's why they brought her into the temple, to end her life because of her sin. But you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to show that there was life after sin. And so here it is, you know, Jesus said, well, I guess if you don't have any sin, you can kill her. And they said, no. And they all just, well, that rules me out. That rules me out. That's why God's called us to let your light so shine before men. You know, light is designed to take people out of the darkness. You know, we have enough darkness that kind of ekes its way out on its own. But thank God for the light of Jesus Christ, you know. And, you know, think about that, you know, the politician that you like the least right now, there's life for that politician after sin. Think of that public official. Right now, there's all kind of hatred toward police officers, and there's life for the ones that are doing despicable things after sin. Because I can't condemn one of them because I'm not without sin. Jesus died. God so loved that he gave the only begotten Son. The person that, whoever the officers were, they started all the things years ago when they beat up Rodney King. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to show those police officers that beat him so severely that there's life after sin. God so loved the world to show whoever committed a murder, somebody was stabbed last night by somebody. And God so loved the world to show that stabber that there's life after sin. You know, the love of God is really just quite unexplainable. You know? And that's why really the only thing you can call it is love. And that's why Satan is such an angel of light. And that's why the one thing Satan wants to counterfeit more than anything else? Love. Because think of how if he can counterfeit love, then we follow a fake love, then actually what love is, and everything that Jesus is that demonstration of what love is. Love is a giving, really, with no guarantee of receiving. And even a giving when there is a guaranteed not receiving. That's the love of God. Can I tell you the truth? That doesn't make humanly sense. Is that right? That's Bible, isn't it? I mean, thank God. But thank God when we do love and we get love in return, that's a blessing. Thank God when we, and I thank God for the many people that love me. It's a blessing to have that. But I thank God for his love that compels me to love when that's not the case. And I praise God and hope for the same in your life. I don't go home with you, so I don't know that about you. But thank God. Next of all, God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son to sacrifice his physical life so that all can have eternal life. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son to sacrifice his physical life so that all could have eternal life. Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, in verse number 25, the word of God says, But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Everybody likes to be the boss. When in the Gentile world, somebody wants to be the one running the show. But it shall not be so among you. Why? Because he's talking to followers of Christ. That's not the way you're supposed to live. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. But if I'm the minister, nobody can really tell I'm great while I'm here. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son to sacrifice his physical life so that all can have eternal life. Now, Jesus came to minister. He didn't come to be ministered unto. You know why? Because he had the Holy Spirit to minister to him. And he had the Heavenly Father to minister to him. And that was enough. You know, and you know, things in the Bible just blow your mind. Yeah, I think sometimes I'm what some would call conservative in nature. And I think about, you know how Jesus kind of blows away all our thinking sometimes? I believe in modest apparel. But check this out. Here's Jesus. He's going to, you know what he does? Wash their feet. He gets naked, the Bible says. Think about this now. The Son of God, he gets naked. And I don't know, he was exposed. He was naked. And he washes the disciples' feet. Not, go figure that. I mean, why? Because he gave his physical life to minister so that they can have eternal life. It's amazing. That's why we got to be careful that we don't get caught up in the wrong things. We need to get caught up in the life of Jesus Christ. Because see, if you can get so caught up in the way we're used to doing things that the Holy Spirit will speak to us, we won't even recognize it. Isn't it amazing? I preached in a Bible conference yesterday, and Pastor Payne had an annual conference. I preached yesterday afternoon, and
And I was going to preach about the importance of knowing God's voice, but God didn't let me. And that's okay, because God knows better than me. But you know, it's amazing how many people got bizarre instructions from God that if they hadn't known it was him, what would they have done? Hosea? And Hosea, you know, I want you to go down and marry a harlot. Isaiah, and I've mentioned him several times, I just can't get over him. You know, Isaiah, can you imagine Pastor Harper now? God wouldn't call me Pastor Harper, because he would say, Reiner, my servant. Now Sunday, I need you to go to church barefoot, and I need you to uncover your buttocks. That's the Bible word, and preach in the Sunday afternoon service. So my people know how their sin has exposed them and how they're really seen because of their sin. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's what Isaiah did. You know what everybody, even God's own people, thought about Isaiah? They thought he was crazy. But Isaiah knew that was God. The word of the Lord came into Isaiah. That is exactly what God told him to do. Can you imagine some instructions like that? Man, I can't believe that. I mean, he got them directly from God. And I believe in the word of God. I don't believe in what some would call extra biblical revelation. But sometimes the Holy Spirit of God will move on your heart through a passage to go minister to somebody in a way that to you it just does not seem to make sense. Well, you talk about, okay, Brother David read about being the Samaritan, taking care of the Samaritan on the side of the road, the story we call the Good Samaritan. That would call for some of us to bring some strange people in our homes just to be a blessing to them. But if you don't know the voice of God, you won't know when to do that, what to do. You can't just go up because I brought that up and go pick up somebody off the street and say, "Hey, I'm going to take you home." You got to be walking with God. Okay, God, there got to be some people in this world you want me to show some compassion to, because you just told me to do that. And it seemed like the people you want me to show the compassion to is, listen, not only my brothers and sisters in Christ, but some people that I don't know that I probably never even get a thank you from and never ever see again. And Lord, would you show me who those people are? And you'll be going somewhere, and it's probably going to be that person. You're like, not that one, Lord. Anyone but that one, you know. But Jesus, the Son of Man, came, God in the flesh, to minister unto people like a common, ordinary servant. And it would have been one thing for him to wash the disciples' feet, being God in the flesh, but another thing to go to the complete humiliation to be naked while he washed the disciples' feet. You know, and because of my predisposed mindsets regarding thinking, my flesh wants me to explain away somehow that he wasn't really completely naked. You know, but the Bible says he laid aside the towel wherewith he was girded, you know, and I don't know what that means. I mean, that kind of means naked. No, but in my mind, I keep wanting to form some. Now, surely he really couldn't have been naked, but because that's God. That's the Son of God in his power, in his holiness, and he's coming down to, and he washed Judas's feet too. But God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son to sacrifice his physical life, even his reputation. He made himself a no reputation so that all could have eternal life. You know why eternal life doesn't really seem like a blessing to many people? Because we just picture it somehow here. We just picture it somehow with something that has to do with this life, and it couldn't be that great, because I sure wouldn't want to live eternally here. I mean, I don't know about you, I wouldn't, but I mean, it's just, I mean, I would like, it'd be nice if I could have my strength till I die and be in good health till I die, but I don't want to live here eternally. You know, I thank God there's something great to look forward to. Mark chapter 10. Continue on with this thought, and we're almost done here. Mark chapter 10. just a repetition of the same passage. But Jesus said it more than once, so I thought it'd be good to read it more than once. Mark 10, verse 42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted the rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man. Isn't it amazing? How could any religious person ever be arrogant? I mean, really, if it could be said you're the most spiritual person in the room, how could you ever be arrogant when you look at Jesus? Amen. I mean, it's just our carnal nature, my flesh. I mean, I've been there. I mean, feel like I was the best person in the room. I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, I look at it now. How could I ever be so ignorant to think that? You know, because here's Jesus, the Son of Man. And nobody was more holy and righteous and perfect than he was. And he's just there like a servant. And for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. 1 Timothy 2, last verse, I think. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Thank the Lord for everybody you know right now. Give thanks for them. Pray for them. Make intercession between them and God for you. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I think they're saying the man Christ Jesus is God. In fact, I know it is. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God so loved that he gave his only begotten son to sacrifice his physical life so that all can have eternal life. I hope you recognize today God so loved the world, and since we all reside here in the world, God so loved you that he gave. He gave you life. He gave you strength. He gave you everything that you can imagine. He gave his only begotten son, the only one he had, the precious one, the one that could never be replaced, the one that was absolutely unique in every way he could be. And he gave his only begotten son to this world. And he gave his only begotten son into this world to have a life that was holy from his youth, to have a life that would demonstrate his compassion, to have a life that would show that there can be life after sin, to sacrifice his physical life so that all can have eternal life. That, my friend, is not just love. That is so love. Father, thank you for so loving the world that you would give your only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who gives us the marvelous privilege to talk to us in prayer, talk to you in prayer. Help us to love you more. Help us to see your great love in such a way that we would truly be willing to share that love with somebody else. God, thank you. Thank you for your love. Please help me to meet you, loving you with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And I pray the same for my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Take a moment and pray and meet with the Lord. If you're not born again, I hope you understand that God so loves you. And he gave his life for you that you could have eternal life today. Please, dear friend, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation. God knows your sin, and He's given the remedy of His sin through Jesus Christ. If you'll just but turn from that to Jesus. The apostles testified repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Hopefully you can see the love of God today through His Son and say, oh God, I'm sorry. And wish you hadn't sinned against Him and have a heart that would turn, believing that the life that Jesus lived and died and resurrected is that which can save you and give you eternal life.
Will you please trust the Lord today?